You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Are you feeling good about it?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Is the brotherly shove on the verge of extinction?
I don't think so.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Changing the rule that a ball that's fumbled into and through or out of the end zone, there's a possibility that this could truly be changed.
We do need to take a look at that.
Earlier on the show, Ravens safety Kyle Hamilton. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Browns wide receiver Amari Cooper, comedian Brad Williams, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. We had a great chat moments ago with Kyle Hamilton of the Baltimore Ravens defense and, of course, Notre Dame football, who refused steadfastly to answer a straightforward question. And that's all I've heard is he's just a shoot you straight type kid. And the question straightforward was, who's got it better than you? And he refused to say the words, word nobody.
Yeah, just one word.
Because he said it was a Michigan thing. And I'm like, no, it's a Harbaugh thing. And I don't understand. Well, I understand it. And I respect it, actually.
You have to respect it. Yeah.
Amari Cooper is going to be on this program in hour number three of the Cleveland Browns. And the comedian Brad Williams is going to be here on the program, so that's going to be a lot of fun. That's all in hour number three. Sitting down right now, good to see you, my Hall of Fame friend, Marshall Faulk.
Oh, what's going on, Rich Eisen? How you doing, man?
That's how we roll here on the program.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Rich.
Yes, Marshall Faulk. What's your question?
Oh, this could go
anywhere. Does Michigan cheat?
Does Michigan cheat?
Yes.
No, they do not cheat.
Okay. I just have to ask you.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean? Michigan cheat? What do you mean by that?
I'm just asking a question, man.
Marshall, I don't understand. Who was your first quarterback in the National Football League?
Listen,
Your first quarterback in the National Football League is a straight-up question.
I didn't ask
question.
You if Jim Harbaugh cheats. I asked you if Michigan.
But what is your definition of cheat?
We didn't get to Harbaugh yet. Can you just wait? I just want to talk about Michigan.
You sit down and just fire.
That's why I asked you the question.
Did you even aim?
There's no layups here.
Okay.
Uh-huh. There's no layups here.
I know that.
Breakaway foul.
So, do you want to answer the question I asked you?
What?
Who was your first quarterback in the National
Jim
Football?
Jim Harbaugh.
How welcoming was he to you to the NFL?
I love Jim. Okay. Let's just be clear.
I don't know.
Love Jim.
The way you just sat down.
I refuse to come on this show and ask you, does Jim Harbaugh cheat? I love Jim. So I asked you, does Michigan cheat?
But all I hear from that guy over there, who it's kind of funny that he separates from me on this front. All he does is just want to play a foil and don't cheat. And that your accomplishments might actually be tainted.
I have two rules,
and
Marshall.
Who's this guy over there?
Don't fumble, don't cheat.
I hear you.
So, and all of the Patriots accomplishments, a lot of people have asterisks. You want me to ask you if the Patriots cheat?
You can ask me that.
Okay.
But I would never say Tom Brady cheat.
Mm.
Ever.
Okay. So my question, he doesn't sit there at all and go, you know what, Rich? I feel your pain. I'm there for you. That your team's accomplishments are somehow, some way wrecked or discounted because of something that hasn't been completely proven. When your draft choices got forfeited, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in the same boat. I'm in your boat now. I didn't think I'd ever be in your boat.
Hold on.
I'm in your boat. We're in the boat game.
You need six more rings to get in my boat, buddy.
This guy. That guy right there.
Love it. Yeah. Love it, man. I'm good, man. I'm good. I just...
Stirring.
Yeah. It was a game on the first. We got some days. We got some days before we get to the game.
What do you think? Can
you guys win?
Of course we can win.
Don't just stop.
What are you talking about?
Serious.
Michigan needs to make sure Milroe has a long day. Michigan needs to have a run game, be consistent. And Michigan needs their quarterback to play, have a clean sheet. We do that, I think we win this football game.
Okay.
And Michigan has the...
Milrow's a grown man.
I know that.
Like, he's not just some little dude you're tackling.
I'm aware of that.
Like, he's a little bit smaller than Derrick Henry.
No, I'm aware of that, but
if
he can have long days in the SEC, why not against Michigan's defense? Why not?
Okay.
And this is a team that has, whether you feel it is appropriate or not, a mentality that everyone is against them, and they are using that as a rallying cry as well as a way to play for one another.
I think that worked. And I believe that worked, Rich,
mm-hmm.
when you guys weren't one. See, when you played Ohio State.
What's a number?
Everybody was like, say what?
What's a number?
That's the expectation. Cares? One is playing four. That's an expectation.
Yeah, you're the favorite.
When you guys were playing Ohio State, you guys weren't favorite.
This guy over there.
I'm telling you,
honestly,
Rich, this matters with these kids. I'm serious.
I'm bringing you into it because
all of these games, Rich, think about it. When you guys went into, was it the Penn State game? You didn't have your coach. It was like, oh, we're not going to know. Like all of these,
until 24 hours, like literally. Before,
exactly.
Like 10 hours. Like,
so the expectation.
Jim was talking about when he arrived on the tarmac.
Yes. So the expectation wasn't there. Like in this game, you guys are expected as the one, you are the number one seed. You are expected.
So you're saying, Chris, over there, that a team that is expected to win cannot play the nobody believes in his card. Everyone's
no,
against
exactly.
this card.
Hell no.
Yeah, why,
do you know how many
you're
times,
number one?
Do you know how many times Brady went off to the Super Bowl and told Sully and Fitz at their farewell, yeah. we're going off to the Super Bowl party
nobody
with a big rally. Nobody believes in us. And the whole country's like, get out of here.
Yeah,
you've got five trophies.
Do you remember that season when everybody said he sucked and that it was time to go to the backup?
So you're telling me that J.J. McCarthy has Jedi mind tricks that he's going to use on himself to get him up for the game?
No, I'm hoping Jim does that. He says his spirit animal.
Hey, man, the reality, Rich, is you guys are the favorite to win it all.
So do you think Michigan has no chance to win?
That's not true.
I don't think they have a really good chance. I forgot. This is the Marshall Faulk conversation. I'm just
going to
play devil's
that.
Advocate until I actually put it
this
in your lap to
about,
see what you feel.
This wasn't about what I think and what I feel. This was about you.
I told you how I feel, and then you push back, and then you say you actually agree with me? Is that what you're saying?
I agree with you. They're the favorite.
Oh, my God.
They are the favorite. See that little box I put you in?
Actually, you're in the box right now on the screen. Now we're the two of us.
But we're betting Alabama, right, Marshall?
So do you feel who wins this game? Alabama?
Hey, man, listen.
Why? Because the SEC? Because they're the SEC?
Only? No. Okay. No. There's something with this team. The game against they should not even be there
because of what Auburn.
The win against Auburn, yes. I was just like, oh my God! I've seen some unbelievable games. That game, like what Milrow did,
yeah.
And you don't. I mean, unless they start talking about it to this degree,
yes.
They benched him. They played somebody else. They cycled through quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, isn't that how both Tua and Hurts got born into our national consciousness?
No. Somebody got hurt.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was a somebody got hurt.
Well, no, Hurts got benched, you know, in the national championship game.
Well, no, they pulled him in the
yes,
game.
Right.
So it wasn't like Milrow got benched.
Yes.
Like, they took his job.
Yeah.
That was different.
Mm-hmm. And that throw was great against Auburn. There's no doubt about it.
I just, there's something. I want to see, man. Kirby Smart is the only one that's in this position done it to Saban.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Michigan could hire someone from the Georgia staff in town, you know, before the game. Maybe they could do that. That's what Alabama did.
I don't like where you're going with this.
Okay, okay, very good. I don't mean you just sat down and just like, I'm like, let's talk week 16.
No. I said, Rich, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, okay.
Did I not?
I remember how it started.
Okay. All right, cool. Good.
Marshall Faulk is here on the program. Well, how much would you have gotten in NIL at San Diego State? Yeah, right?
I probably would have sounded more like Caleb Williams. Like, I might not be going to... I probably would have went for my fifth or sixth year. I would have been fifth or sixth year.
Yeah.
I would have got all the green shirt, the blue shirt. I would have got all the shirts. They would have been creating colors of shirts.
I should have asked you, how much NIL money would you have made against BYU alone?
Oh, my God.
You tormented them.
Yeah. They would have probably paid me to leave.
He gotta go.
Yeah.
They would have said, and
name, and, image, and leave. And then, that's how that would have
name,
went.
Name, image,
and then you, they would have put some figure on the table, and you'd have been like, well, no. Cincinnati still has that first overall pick. No dice.
You know, yeah.
There's still didn't not enough money. There.
Didn't want to go there. Oh, man.
So,
but yeah, the whole NIL thing is,
you imagine?
Man, I cannot.
Prime is deep in that world right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he, I mean, rightfully so. Couldn't have a better person. Couldn't have a better person. You know he understands the bag. Understands how to play the game, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets it.
And he understands when kids might actually renege on him. Which it seems like, as of this conversation, and that seat 2 weeks ago, Jordan Seaton was sitting here wearing his blenders, talking about how if you're a dog, you're going to Colorado, and he might not show up there at the end of the day. It's kind of crazy right now.
It's okay.
Do you think the college football should go with what Chip Kelly said, which is go independent from the rest of college sports? Let everyone be in the old conferences and basketball and the Olympic sports and football. It should just be 64 of us and let's play it like it's the NFL.
You know,
basically,
Rich,
what he said.
I don't know if that sounds good or not, but I always question, should we listen to Chip Kelly?
Oh, God.
I'm just being honest. Say what you want. I'm just being honest.
No, I know that.
That's it. Should we be listening to Chip Kelly is the question.
I don't know. I mean, college football, he seems to have had a lot of answers, although maybe not as much at UCLA.
More questions?
Okay.
That's all I would ask. Like, if Nick Saban said that, I'd be like, let's listen to him.
I know. When Brockman doesn't make eye contact with me, he knows he wants no part of this conversation.
This makes me laugh.
Marshall Faulk here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so what should we talk about here?
Anything.
I noticed.
But Michigan.
No, it's okay. I mean, it's all good, man. So why did you leave Indianapolis?
Wow. That's a great question. Great question. Well, you know, we had a difference of opinion. We were going separate ways. You know, the town just wasn't big enough for two New Orleanians.
I was about to say, can you imagine Peyton Manning and you playing your entire careers together? Oh. I mean, obviously, you wound up in the same place, you know, football heaven, to use your phrase. You are on the same team again. Mm. But I'm sure, and Kurt Warner's like, why are you even asking that question?
Hey, man, it was fun playing with Peyton a year that, like, and then playing with him, it was fun watching the process of him processing how to navigate the league, like, literally. Learning, okay, I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. And anybody else who throw 20 and some odd interceptions their rookie year, they have the next year is just not good. The next year they went 13-3. Like how he
without you.
Yeah, without me. Like the next year they went 13-3. I mean he really stepped it up. And I think he only threw like 8, maybe 9 interceptions, something like that. But it was impressive to watch the process of his rookie year and then how he picked it up and how he stepped it up and what they did to evolve the offense. And listen, they were right. When I was there, Peyton leaned on me a lot. And when I wasn't there, the maturity and growth that he needed to become a leader, it happened naturally, and everybody followed him.
Mm. And I love that story. It's one of my favorite stories I've ever heard you tell, is the processing that Peyton was going through about throwing footballs where he shouldn't and what he would say. Can you tell that story, what he would say?
Oh, yeah. So we're like beginning of the season. He throws a pick, throws a couple more picks, and his thing was, oh, man, I just didn't think the guy couldn't get there. It's like, I just didn't think he can get there.
Meaning the defensive back.
Yeah, he just didn't think he can get there. I didn't think he can get there. And then pretty soon I was just like, hey, Peyton, everybody can get there.
Welcome to the NFL.
This is the NFL. Everybody can get there. But it just, you could watch the process because he just wouldn't make the same mistake twice. Like literally, he filed it away. If a defensive coordinator did something, it was like, and he saw it coming again, couldn't get him twice with the same thing.
Anybody else you play with like that?
He was the only one who had control of the game. Martz wouldn't let, like, Martz wouldn't allow. Our offense was different.
Right.
You know, Kurt had control of the game, but it was just in his decision-making. His ability to make decisions on, based on the coverage, where the ball would go. The coverage sometime would dictate where the ball went. And then even though that was the case, Kurt would then, he had the option to hold on to it a little longer, take the hit and make the throw. And he did that better than anybody. Like, the dude, I mean, we won the Super Bowl because of that. That throw, him holding on to it, taking the hit, throwing the ball to Isaac, that was his calling, like what he did. And to watch the movie, watching his movie, understanding that his defining moment and the thing that he's known for was what kept him benched, because he could not stay in the pocket. He kept running out of the pocket. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, his coach was like, you got to stand there and take it.
In college, right?
In college.
Right.
And that became his calling card. It's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
He's the American underdog.
Yeah, 100%.
Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks you played with. All right, so and it's interesting with Peyton, you're saying that Peyton was the offense, because when he went out with the neck injury and the bottom fell out, it's kind of because he was the only one who could operate the system that right. they had in place, and that you had to change the system in midway, in the middle of everything when he went out. And it's kind of, I always use the analogy, it's like the movie Independence Day, that only the aliens can actually operate the spacecraft that they had. And that's what Peyton was like with that offense. And it seems like that was the case with the Jets this year. When Rodgers goes out, certainly with the coordinator they had, the system was set up for, all right, you're basically the quarterback and the coordinator. Pre-snap, whole damn thing, and then he goes out. And the Jet season goes down the toilet because they couldn't adjust. Is that an appropriate way of analogizing that?
That's exactly it. What Peyton did, and people want to get into greatest quarterback, this and this. The current state of what a quarterback's job is in the NFL is because of what Peyton did. Obviously, before Peyton, long, long time ago, guys called their own plays. Mm-hmm. What Peyton did was, he went to the line of scrimmage with multiple plays and checks. They were never in a bad play. He always had an answer. And no down was wasted. That was the idea. Let's get something out of every down. And not the physical elements of, he didn't have the strongest arm. He wasn't the fastest. Like all of that stuff. But his capacity to stand at the line of scrimmage and slow the game down and literally put them in a play that's going to be successful was unbelievable. And throughout the time when it was him, Marvin, Reggie, and Dallas, they lined up in the same formation with Edgerrin back there and wore you out. And a lot of the plays looked the same, but they'd run that stretch, and he knew it. And if they handed off to Edgerrin and the safety's back, they're getting 20. And if that safety cheat up, you're going to see that naked hand. And if that naked hand go out to the back, it's going over your head. I mean, they did it better than anybody.
And then Brady turned into that as well.
Brady turned into that.
And you could make a case that Rodgers,
he's that.
Is, well, and maybe the best skill set in terms of physical abilities to boot out or run it himself with that neck up ability. Yep. And we'll see if Mahomes is there.
He can do it.
Right, exactly. And so that's the question, is that what could the Jets have done? Right? Because you're not telling the play caller we're pulling a code red on you, because Rodgers was either A, thinking of coming back this year, or B, absolutely wanted everything still be in the same place. And the Jets made a decision, we're going to keep it frozen here. Because we can't antagonize the guy that we just put all the eggs in the basket, and the basket blew up four snaps into the season. What could they have done differently?
Nothing. I mean, they went into it, and the worst case scenario, the worst was if your offensive coordinator had to coach the guy calling in plays had to coach somebody other than Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Because we saw what that looked like.
With Russ.
Yeah. We saw what it looked like. That was the worst case. Like, of all the things that could have happened, that was the worst. Because in most cases, here's what I want you to look at. Minnesota has won games with backup quarterbacks.
Look at the Browns.
The Browns.
With the backup quarterback the Jets used last year for Zach.
So understand, like, you can win games. It's a reflection on, and I'm going to say this, Aaron Rodgers is an exceptional talent. Like, we beyond what he's able to do. Uh-huh. And I think what we were about to see was the maturation of his process and what he was about to do with that offense, with taking ownership of it, with the probably one of the best receiving corps he's had in a while. That the receiving corps that the Jets were about to put on the field.
So getting Flacco off his couch in week three, that wouldn't have fixed it? Jets might have a better season right now if they went ahead and made some sort of that's the whole point. Is it a Zach thing, or because McDaniel called Zach Wilson quote unquote dangerous, and he does not mean because he's dangerous for his own team.
Rich, I don't know, and I can't tell if it's a Zach thing, but what I am going to say is when I watch him or any other quarterback for the Jets play, a lot of the times they don't have the answers to what's going on out there. It doesn't look like they're getting, hey, when you see this, we're going here. When they do this, this, and this, we're doing this. We're late in the season. Defenses aren't doing things that you haven't seen. That's usually, you know, first maybe month of the season, they're trying stuff. They're trying to disguise. Right now, when you line up against a defense, you have the data that's telling you on first down, when you put regular personnel out there, here's what they line up in. These are the things that they run. If you run motion, here's what they like to do. Here's what they check is. You know those things. And it just appears to me that he doesn't appear to have the answers. And when he does, he plays well.
He slings it.
He plays well.
Marshall Faulk, Pro Football Hall of Famer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Another segment with him. We're going to go down some of the narratives that have been popular in the NFL over the last 3 weeks. I don't want to hit you with that. That's Marshall Faulk here, 844-204-RICH. TJ's fantasy advice, Amari Cooper of the Cleveland Browns, coming up after that. Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. All right, folks, let's talk about game time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big-time events, because it can be worrisome, it can be time-consuming, and it can be expensive. So, Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. All right, back here on the show. I feel sometimes with the Roku channel, I'm talking to potentially a new audience every day. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, we've only been on for about a year plus.
Yeah.
So this is maybe your umpteenth appearance, whether you're with me or Suze when she's sitting in here, Marshall Faulk. One of our favorite moments, September 8th, 2016, was when we got our new sign outside. And then Mike Del Tufo was out there to pull the rope, and it's a complete malfunction. Marshall was here. This is it. You know, and remember this moment, guys? Hold on a minute. I think Marshall's... It's coming. Just give it one big pull.
Get a good jersey pull.
There you go, and then off it goes. That's Marshall laughing.
What's that? You're a big man.
Oh, man. Classic.
Both ropes came down. All right. Very good. 7 years ago.
Right. Can we go back to that? I think he's still in uniform.
Are you wearing the same thing?
Are you wearing the same clothes?
No, you lost weight.
I think he's still in uniform.
Is it the same shirt?
He's in uniform.
Oh, my God.
He's in uniform.
That's an old.
The same hat.
It's the same hat.
That's the same shirt.
Oh, my God.
There's a patch on your left arm. No. There's a patch on your left arm in the video, and you're wearing the shirt right now.
This is Marshall Faulk at his finest.
By the way, Marshall Hawkeye's over there.
Oh, my God.
He said you were in uniform, Mike.
20 Super Bowls.
Oh, my God. We're back here on a radio show, and we're showing an old footage from 7 years ago of Del Tufo struggling to take down
the sign
reveal properly. And you were wearing the same hat and shirt that day.
No, the hat's different.
No, it's not.
Mike, it's literally the same hat.
It's Super Bowl 50. It's the same hat.
The
same shirt as you're wearing.
It's the same shirt.
Oh, my God. It's a uniform.
Excuse me. We've all advanced as humans. You have not. I think it's the fourth. Oh, my God.
New version of the new shirt.
Marsha's sweating. You're just sweating right now. Oh, my God. Wow. I love Tui, man. That is the best.
Here you go.
Does not get better than that, bro.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Wow. You're laughing so hard, man. You are sweating. Oh, my gosh.
That's the best, bro. Boy, the man. Uniform.
Del Tufo. That's Dion the other day. Del Tufo's the man.
Two of my favorite human beings on the planet.
Very best, man.
I love these.
7 years ago.
That doesn't change the fact you're wearing the same shirt. Maybe your favorite is, you know.
You got me there.
It's the same shirt.
He's trying to throw us off the scent.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Good job, dude.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Quick story times with you. This is the Marshall Faulk Bowl tonight. Right?
Yes.
The Rams. It would be Rams Colts for your teams that you played for professionally, but Rams versus New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's where you are from.
Well, the old NFC West.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
You, every single time we would talk about the Saints back in the day on NFL Network, everyone would scream out the word popcorn. But like, popcorn. And why would that be? Why were we doing
that's
that?
That's how I got my start, man. As a kid, when I couldn't afford money to get in the game. I was a vendor. I sold popcorn in the Superdome. That's how I got in the games. Awesome. It's the only way I could see professional football, other than on TV.
Do you remember what year that was? Do you remember what that?
Oh, man.
Is
let's
this
see.
The Bobby A. Bear era? Is that where
was,
is
this was 89.
Jim Mora Senior?
88,
87, 88,
89. Okay.
Yeah,
yep.
Let's see.
So, was this Dome Patrol? Is this what we were?
Yeah, it's Bobby A. Bear.
This was we were just out of being the Aints.
Okay.
The bags came off of our heads, and we started having a showing.
Oh yeah, 87. They were 12-3.
Wow.
10-6 and 88, 9-7 and 89.
So you started showing up. Yeah, it's the Marshall Faulk effect.
Like we just got the bags off our heads,
and then you were filling up with popcorn.
Yep.
Ironhead Hayward.
We were the Aints, man. And the fans were so, I mean, we have sellout crowds, and they put bags on their heads.
I remember that.
Paper bags with eyes cut out and the mouth cut out, so they got to be able to drink, you know.
I will never forget the night the Superdome reopened.
Oh, yeah.
And we were there for NFL Network.
Man.
And I was standing next to you, and you told me, going into the game, this is going to be the loudest building you've ever been in your
life. Ever.
You told me that. And I was standing next to you. We were in some suite. I was your plus one.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. New Orleans. And I will never forget when Vic rolls out and the ball goes on the ground and everybody thought it was going to be a Saints turnover on the opening drive of the reopening of the Superdome. And the place went nuts, and then the ball rolled out of bounds, and everyone, ooh. Mm-hmm. And you looked at me, and I looked at you, because it was the loudest I've ever heard a building, and you start looking at me, and you're nodding your head at me, you start laughing. Like, yeah, I told you. And then the next place is the Steve Gleason.
The punt block, yeah.
That is now, memorial, or basically with the statue out.
Yeah, I'm getting the chills right now, thinking about it. Like,
we were there that night.
Yeah, yeah. And coming off Katrina and all that team had been through.
Yeah.
The displaced playing in San Antonio, playing more away games, and nobody knew if the Superdome would reopen, would the team ever come back?
And the awfulness that was going on in that building.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. Oh
to
my
wipe
God.
That memory away, yes. best that the city could.
Amazing.
And like, have that happen within like the first minute of return?
Yep. Like I've never been at an event that was that loud. Like you remember it was like we were standing next to each other talking like
I could not hear each other. That's why when I looked at you and you were like, yep, I told you it was going to be that loud. And then it got louder.
Yeah.
And
I the city was buzzing. We were there. It was just buzzing. They were so hungry for a home game. And, and I'm going to tell you what my people did, the New Orleanians. It was like they wanted to show people that we were resilient. We were resilient. It was so much going on. And the city was being talked about because of, you know, all the stuff that happened in the Superdome. And do they deserve a team? And mm-hmm. do they want to move the team? And, man, like, would they ever support sellout crowd? Everybody, it was like everybody stood up the whole game almost.
Tagliabue was insistent that everyone return to New Orleans.
Yeah,
because I mean, there was a conversation about going to San Antonio or anything like that. I remember that night, like I will never forget it. And the fact that I got to stand next to you, Mr. New Orleans, essentially, I will never forget that. It is a blessing that I had that, and it also leads to your other favorite moment of that night. Because it was a Monday night game on ESPN. And we went down on the field to watch that game in the third quarter. And they go up, a member of the security staff, to Marshall and say, you can stay. He looked at me and said, you got to go. Like, I'm Big Dom. Like, was like, Big Dom. I'm like, what?
He kept looking at me like, what?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Help.
They saw me, and I was non-essential.
Oh.
They saw him, and they're like, you're essential. And guess who got to allow me to stay on the field?
Oh.
This guy.
Oh. Nice.
And then when afterwards, you're like, let's go out. And I'm like, excuse me. This night is not great enough that I get to go out in New Orleans with Marshall Faulk. On the night the Superdome reopens this triumphantly, it's going to be amazing. And we turn to Mooch and I'm like, come on. And he's like, no, I'm just going to go back to the hotel.
Wow.
That's Mooch for you.
And I said to him, like, yeah, Steve, this next hurricane of the century wipes the city off the map. And they reopen the Superdome like this. And the most popular guy in New Orleans asks you to go out. We'll do it then.
And he still left.
Mooch, man. He still left.
That's Mooch. That is Mooch.
Literally. Spike Lee was there, and fans were there.
Man, everybody was there.
You two and Green Day. You two and Green Day.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
All right, let's ask you about some narratives here, Marshall Faulk, that are going on right now. Cowboys are going to be one and done because we saw what happened in Buffalo. That it's just the same old thing. Same old thing. Or they're not going to make it back to the NFC Championship game because we just saw they were shown as being fugazi by the Bills. What do you think?
Man, that's. I want to think that it's different. I've seen a different Dak. The question is going to be, can Mike McCarthy get out of the way?
Really?
Yep.
Because he's been dialing it up like crazy to this point.
I think just watching the game,
sure. All
right? Watching the game. They have to learn because it's not that he's dialing it up. It's that Dak is putting him in the proper plays. But on the road, they can't get in the proper play. On the road is different. You got to have some signals, and you got to be able to get into the proper place. At home, they can hear him. He's real audio.
Here we go.
He can check. He can do stuff. On the road in Buffalo, it was no checks, and Dak had to make decisions dropping back, and that's hard.
So
ask anybody. Ask Peyton. All of them. They get a pre-snap read, and they play from that pre-snap read. If you do something, boom. Buffalo literally, they played four cross, and they dropped it in late on him, and he had to make decisions, and your guys got to win.
So give Dak the ability pre-snap to do whatever he's seeing, give him full control, and the fact that he doesn't have it may be the reason why we're seeing the Cowboys struggle on the road?
That's my analogy, that he doesn't have it. Like, he has to have, like, the ability to get in and out of plays.
Huh.
Call certain plays. If they're going to do what they need to do, when you watch Patrick Mahomes, just pay attention. Patrick will stop it, get him into something else. I mean, he has the ability to do that, and they allow him to.
So let me turn to Mahomes. The narrative is Kadarius Toney is absolutely going to cost them the ability to win an important game in the playoffs.
Not just him.
But he is the personification of the issues with the offense. How about that is a better way of setting up the narrative?
Kind of. I'm not going to let Watson off. And I'm not going to let Sky Moore. The three of them.
So is that fixable?
No.
So then their issues at receiver, writ large, that Kadarius Toney personifies is going to cost them
so,
at the end.
So let's say this. Is it fixable? What's fixable is, I love Sapp. Sapp showed us that.
Sapp in the lab?
Toney was offside a bunch of times, and they didn't call it.
Okay.
What's fixable is, he lined up in the neutral zone. That's fixable. Your ability to catch the football, when you have the drops, the fix is just catch the damn ball. Like this. And whether they're going to catch it, the touchdown that Valdez-Scantling dropped, that was it. Like, when he dropped that ball, it's like his career ended. I haven't seen him throw him a meaningful ball since. So they have four guys that have the drops.
Well, he did throw one that should have been pass interference against the Packers, but wasn't. But I do think that the Mahomes going nuts on the official was because he couldn't.
Can I just bring one thing up?
Sure.
They missed their wide receivers coach.
Is that Bieniemy?
They missed their wide receivers coach, Rich.
Okay.
So if we asking what his worth was, it was those guys were on schedule with Mahomes because he worked with Mahomes. He worked with the wideouts. And right now, those wide receivers look like they play for the Bears.
Marshall Faulk here on the Rich Eisen Show. Another narrative is that the Eagles are less than because their coordinators are head coaches somewhere else, and 100%. This is not fixable either.
Yes, you lose. I'm impressed that they got off to the start that they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now it's time. Okay. Both offense and defensive coordinator, they figured you out. What are your adjustments? That's what we and we're not seeing their adjustments. We're not seeing now they've adjusted to you. Now what? You got two head coaches, and the one in Indianapolis is doing a great job.
Sure is.
You see why he's missed. I mean, he got Gardner Minshew, Gardner looking good. Mm-hmm. That team is playing well.
The run game is. Yeah. Trey Sermon and Tyler Goodson ran all over the Steelers 14 straight times.
It's you see why
to wrap that game.
Yeah. So
right.
They're going to be. There's a deficiency, and I think I believe let's just see if they can make the adjustments going into the latter part of the season to get them ready for the push in the playoffs. I'm just amazed that they're here, Rich. Teams that lose the Super Bowl don't start off the way that the Eagles started off. I give Sirianni credit for having them ready at the start of the season.
And then another narrative is that both Belichick and Tomlin have run their courses at their spots. Would you agree with that?
I just can't see how, unless Belichick wants to live in Southern California, coach the Chargers, and sell his boat in Newport, off of Newport Beach. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't see you getting rid of Bell. The Robert Kraft that we know, I don't even know how you do that. I don't even know how you do. I can't even. People keep saying, and I'm like, how do you put that into words? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you tell Belichick?
Because he clearly is still one of the greatest coaches of all time.
I'm not discounting that. Now, he's always been the bad judge of talent. He hasn't always picked the
groceries.
Yeah, it hasn't always cooked the food that he wanted to, the dish that he said he was going to make. But he finds ways to win.
Damn,
and I just could not ask him that. And then I believe Mike Tomlin. Some of the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they lost their GM, that's the difference in this team. The talent doesn't look like the Pittsburgh Steeler talent. And I listened to guys like Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark said, here's the problem. And I was like, that might make sense. The Pittsburgh Steelers used to draft the best available talent, not to what they needed. Mm-hmm. And if you start drafting to what you need, then you get in trouble. You got to take the best available talent. So they always have high quality, high ID. What I saw those two receivers do,
Deontay Johnson against the Bengals,
yes.
And then Pickens
just
last week.
I'm telling you right now, if that was Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt, every time I got a chance, I'd run up their back. I'd hit them in the back. Like, you're not going to – that is
like
not –
like on the field during a play.
On the field, yes. They're going to get in contact. You either block or get ran over. What they're doing, that's not even football, man. Watching them two stand up, he watched the ball and the other guy get out of the way. Just let a guy go hit the running back.
Well, that's why people are putting that on Tomlin. Like, isn't that the head coach to fix that? Not Jalen Warren's responsibility or Najee Harris's responsibility?
Your best two receivers, can you win games without them two? It's your best two receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And coaching today is hard. If you got to bench those two guys, and listen, we both know, because we watch with Antonio Brown, Tomlin don't have a problem benching you. He'll have a problem sending you to the locker room. But in today's climate, you got to win games. They're already talent deficient.
Mm-hmm.
They got Big Ben calling in saying that this don't look like Steelers football. You got Ryan Clark making comments. I mean.
Well, the Tomlin I saw looked as engaged as ever when
yeah,
I saw him. And by the way, same guy, same everything. And TJ Watt's like, I would run through a wall for
Rich,
this guy.
How did they win games early in the year with Matt Canada doing what he did? Now if there's a thing. The fact that his loyalty to his coaches sometimes, Canada, the proof was in the pudding. He wasn't up for the job. It didn't fit what they were trying to do. He wasn't the guys to cook those groceries. Like, it didn't fit. But Tomlin's loyalty is that's who he is. But you're not going to tell me that guy can't coach. If they let him go, I mean, it'd be a fire sale for people trying to get him.
I got one more segment. TJ, we'll do your fantasy at the end of the show.
Okay.
I got Marshall Faulk here on a roll. Let's take a break right here. Amari Cooper, top of the next hour, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. In today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Saturday, Christmas comes early, only on Peacock. Bills, Chargers, an exclusive NFL game live in primetime. Saturday, 7:30 Eastern, exclusively on Peacock.
All right, back here before our radio audience returns. Will you tell, this is another one of my favorite stories.
Uh-oh.
About you barking back at the Cardinals sideline.
Oh, my
year.
God.
Can you
one
tell
of my
that
favorites.
Story, please?
One of my favorites. So we're playing the Cardinals, and I'm having a day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I any time like, you know, I normally don't engage, but I run a couple of plays their side and they're talking and they're real chirpy and they're getting off, and now it's literally a blowout, and I'm going up and down the sideline and I'm and, you know, some nasty things, and I keep going and then I double back. I'm like, Mr. Green, not you. No, I'm sorry. I every time at the Hall of Fame, I remind him. I'm like, he's like, I remember that.
So
like
Mean Joe is on the sideline as the assistant.
He's on the sideline as he's the D-line coach. He's on the sideline, and I'm telling him, y'all ain't this. Y'all getting worked. Y'all sorry. S.O.B.
At Arizona, Marshall. At Arizona.
At Arizona.
So this was November 3rd, 02.
Yes.
What did you? What was his day?
27 carries for 178 yards. five catches for 58 more.
I'm wearing them out, Rich.
Yeah.
I'm wearing them out.
And you're letting them know.
And I'm letting them know it. I'm wearing them out. Yeah. And I'm like, and then I was like, Mr. Green, that wasn't for you. I'm sorry. I just think you can't talk trash to me, Joe Green. I'm like, you got to have some respect, man. Like I respect that man too much. Now I call him Pops. You know, I'm like, I caught myself. It was just like, you know, you get in the moment and you're being disrespectful and you're just trying to get on everybody on the sideline. And I was like, not you, sir. Like,
I love it. That's truly one of my favorite stories from you, Marshall Faulk. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, you can check out the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone, including tonight's Thursday night football game on the NFL app. Every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL can be found live there. Or you can ask Alexa to open Westwood One Sports on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on Monday nights and me for free. Get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I had to lay into that one. Marshall Faulk still here on the program. Last segment. What is your interpretation of what Sean Payton was saying to Russell Wilson on the sideline in Detroit when he went right after him and started yelling at him? You're my Sean Payton whisperer. I don't know if you saw that sequence on Saturday night.
Yes.
What do you think that was about?
Let me
say, 'cause
he
said it's none of our business what that was about. So let me ask you what you think that business might
exactly
have been about.
Sean only responds to stuff like that when something was supposed to be done,
mm-hmm,
that was talked about, agreed upon, and Russ did the opposite or something different.
Okay.
Like Sean Payton will not lose doing stuff that he doesn't want to do.
Or has been run through.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just in case it happens, and then that had happened. So what was it? Because the essential idea was that he ran the play maybe too fast. He couldn't challenge what had happened just before on the goal line or anything like that?
Whatever happened, mm-hmm, here's what I'm saying. It had to be discussed, talked about,
mm-hmm,
and the situation. Because Sean's all about he's situational football.
Right.
That's exactly where Belichick got it from. Which is Parcells, Sean got it from, which is football is all about situations. And for a veteran quarterback to not understand the situation, like that is like you can make physical errors with him, but the mental errors, he cannot handle. He cannot. It is just not. It is not acceptable.
So he let him know about it on the sideline. And this is one of those things where pages are turned and off we go and we can do it again.
Let's move on.
Right.
Like he's let's move on. That happened. And you got to be able to take that. Like that's his thing. Like sometimes the coach is going to get at you and you got to be able to take it. Like Martz has done that to Kurt. Mm-hmm. You just got as the player, you got to be able to take it. Because one of the most frustrating things for a coach is you put a lot of time and effort into it, but you don't get to do anything on the field. And that's going to happen.
Last narrative for you is the 49ers are unbeatable.
It looks that way, Rich. I'm telling you. I there's no answer for what. I mean, obviously, if the head coach decides that he wants the quarterback to be MVP instead of the running back, and they decide to throw the ball in the red zone against the team that they play in the Super Bowl, then they can be beaten.
That's what you think is at stake on Monday night, huh?
I'm just saying if what they do is if he decides to control the game and not allow the game to control, like they right now they're playing and whoever is hot they go through. And you know, if he wants to have Brock Purdy be the MVP, then he can get in the way.
So let me ask you in the 2 minutes I have left here then, as somebody who knows what it's like to run and catch and block and do everything that McCaffrey is doing, make the case for him as the MVP as you once won.
It is what it is, man. He is. If they allowed, hold on, if they wouldn't pacify Debo and hand him the ball and do the things that they need to do, McCaffrey's numbers would be through the roof, off the charts. It would be through the roof. But the way that they operate their offense is, they try to create mismatches with personnel being in different positions. And we did that too. And I think his touches and his numbers are they're great, but I think his touches are down because they want to make sure he's fresh for the playoffs. Remember last year, had a little calf injury and
sure.
Sometimes you get worn down a little bit, but, Brock Purdy, when they didn't have no McCaffrey, they didn't have Trent, and they didn't have Debo, he looked regular.
Mm-hmm.
He was just regular. Nothing was there. He wasn't able to carry the team. And I think it's Christian McCaffrey, and then after that, you got to go with the Cheetah. If the Cheetah clips 2,000, that's unbelievable.
So the first two MVP votes or win in place should be non-quarterbacks.
Yes. Yes.
Then who's the quarterback that shows? Is it Purdy or is it Lamar? And that's what's at stake Monday night?
Depending on what Lamar does, mm-hmm. Yes.
Hmm.
You know, because you can't turn off the early parts of the season for Lamar. They gave some games away early this year.
They sure did.
Like they just imagine, but they figured it out. They literally figured it out.
Including one at Pittsburgh. Which has the opportunity, you know, Pittsburgh, everybody seems to forget that they beat the Ravens earlier this year.
Yeah.
Great to see you, brother.
All good.
You're the best.
Thanks for having me.
It's the Hall of Fame. We just filled an hour. Boom. Like wow. That. Boom. Amari Cooper coming up and the comedian Brad Williams and TJ's fantasy advice in hour three. Still got about a minute plus right here. So it's funny you say McCaffrey's numbers would be even gaudier they did not hand the ball to Debo every night. But how do you not? I mean, the guy is a huge weapon to diversify.
Yes. You have to use him. And listen, Kittle's is underused.
I know.
I love the fact that he just he'll block, he'll bang his head, he does what he does, and then sometimes he get highlighted. He'll get 6, 7, 8 catches, 2 touchdowns, and just the greater good. He's probably a guy that could that should be looked at as Gronk or, you know, like the star tight end.
Oh, sure. Kelsey.
He could be featured like Kelsey. He could be that, but he's not trying to.
And then interesting, again, I know this is more of a conversation than 30 seconds. James Cook is reimagining the way that the Bills are playing offensively.
Joe Brady.
Right.
It's unbelievable. You know, the guy knows how to call plays. And obviously something was going on in Carolina that got him out of there. But – here's the same thing. You're watching the quarterback with answers. The quarterback has answers to Joe is like, this, these are the answers. When you see this, these are the answers.
Well, James Cook is a hell of an answer.
Yes.
That is for
like,
sure.
Why hasn't he been getting touches?
Bingo. And that's why they switched maybe offensive coordinators. Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, everybody. We're back with Hour 3 in a sec.
You love Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I don't know that I would call it respect that I have for Sandoval, but the world hated him. He still went out, performed shows with his head held high. He showed up to the reunion when we all were going after him. Like, he didn't skip a beat. The way he's handling it, if I were in his position, and I said it straight up to the entire audience, thousands of people, I would tell you all to and the room was dead.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.